This is London Calling.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Big Smoke Music Weekly. Ooh, it's episode 3 of season 4, Big Smoke Music Weekly, with me, Luke Scanlon, and Dave Bowen.
Hello.
Buzzing, Dave. Absolutely buzzing to be here. I love it. I always tee you up for that and then just nothing.
What am I supposed to say?
Hello. I want you to be like, come on, you bastards. Let's go. Let's have it.
Back of the net. We're back, baby.
That's more like it. More Hollywood, Dave. Like, you know, like Hollywood blockbuster trailer.
And now, time for episode 3 of Big Smoke Music Weekly.
See? That's what I want from you. That's what I pay the big bucks for. Anyway,
waiting for those, by the way.
Yeah, the big bucks on the way to you shortly. Last episode, we had a chat with TV priest Charlie Drinkwater, lead singer of That There Band. And in episode 3, we'll be bringing you a chat with the brilliant Ethan Barnett, a.k.a. 10 Tons, as part of our Big Smoke In Focus chat for this week. So anyway, Dave, most important news is pubs are back open.
Hurrah. Thank the Lord.
I think I've about recovered from the first weekend.
Yeah. Even though God has put a little curveball in and made it absolutely freezing so you can't sit outside for too long.
Yes, it has been really cold. Saying that, though, last Saturday was pretty hot. I was right in direct sunlight and had the worst. I've rouged up a little bit. I've lost it now. But I'm calling it a tan. I'm just freckled.
No, it's good to have it back. Good to have things feel a bit more normal.
Definitely. Oh, for sure, man. It was really weird. I went down. So my friend Jordan got down. I think I told you. He was in the pub at like 11 a.m. and had to have two coffees because they obviously weren't serving yet. And then I got down and I was wearing jeans with a t-shirt tucked in. And what was he? I can't remember what he was wearing now, but he's got quite long hair and he wears glasses. And there was this old boy sat on the table opposite us wearing jeans, loafers, tucked in shirt, glasses, long hair. And he was like, fuck me, that's our love child.
that's going to be you in like good 30, 50 years, I think.
That'd be me. It was terrifying, mate. It was absolutely terrifying.
A vision of yourself.
Exactly, Dave. I'm very much looking forward to our Big Smoke In Focus chat for this episode.
You too.
Good times. And do you know what's really annoying? Since securing the interview with 10 Tons, I've been listening to 10 Tons and I'm really annoyed because it every song makes you want to be back in a crowd. Really annoying. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Definitely. He's definitely got that kind of festival sound to him, isn't he?
Exactly, man. Just makes you want to be 10 pints down, stumbling around.
10 pints, 10 tons.
I'm just thinking in tens, Dave. 10 or 20 pints down and just off your nut in a field. That's what I want. Yeah. Exactly.
Same
right.
Here, mate.
Anyway, should we have a bit of this?
Luke and Dave's Tune of the Week.
Right, Dave. We're going to mix things up a little bit on Tune of the Week and have three.
Ooh.
But one of which being our big tune of the week.
Big tune.
It's big tune. It's the banger.
Big tune on Big Smoke.
See? I don't fuck about, Dave. I do not fuck around. So actually, I'm going to let you go first, Dave, so you can hit me with your two.
Right. So my first one is by the Bug Club, a song called Checkmate.
You can't touch my king of space. You're feeling ace. You can borrow my dad's pawn from 1974.
Bug Club, a free piece from, I like the way they put it, a little known rock and roll hotbed that is Caldecott in Monmouthshire, Wales.
That is a very little known rock and roll hotspot.
Apparently they've been gigging relentlessly for a few years in Cardiff and Bristol. Oi, oi. And their second single of their first EP coming out in April-ish.
Delightful. Mate, you know, I first listened to this and I just thought, early White Stripes.
Yeah, it's just a bit of raucous rock and roll. You know, just over 2 minutes long. It's all you need in a song sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was a bit like, I was kind of Smashing Pumpkins a little bit as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know what I mean? But it just makes me want to go to a gig, a bit sweaty, underground. You know,
yeah, all I'm deducing from this episode so far is we're both torturing ourselves.
We're gasping.
exactly. What's numero dos?
Numero dos is the New Pagans with Harbour.
It's just your
Belfast band.
Dude, by the way, I knew you were gonna the song you're choosing is your banger of the week. I knew it was gonna be that one. So I didn't know the order you're gonna put them in. But yeah, New Pagans Harbor. Tell me about it. Tune.
It's taken off their debut album, which has got a ridiculous name: The Seed, The Vessel, The Roots, and All.
Sounds like a recipe just, list.
Yeah. Put all that in a grinder and you've got a lovely condiment.
You get yourself a New Pagan.
Exactly. It's been quite a critically acclaimed, the album. It was out last month. It's got a bit of a mix on it, a bit of post-punk indie. Mm. This one feels a bit more pop-punky, actually, which
It was kind of like American-y pop-punk.
Yeah, you know, almost like maybe a bit Paramore-y, I don't know.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, the vocals are really, really solid.
Yeah, brilliant. That. Apparently it's about her being pregnant, which is an interesting song topic. Because I didn't think, like, the first lyric on it is, "You make me sick." And I was like, oh, this is upbeat. And then it's obviously maybe about morning sickness is what I'm guessing.
This is upbeat. Amazing. I like it, Dave. Yeah. So what's your crown and glory this week?
Crown and glory, numero uno, number one, big tune of the week is Dog Toy by the band Speedboat. Which Edgar. I've just absolutely been loving recently. Just a massive throwback 80s synth pop, just beauty.
I don't know how I stumbled across it, but first time I heard it, I was just like, wow, haircut 100.
Yeah, oh man, it's got like that almost like Devo kind of vibe to it. And then I was a bit, it's like such an 80s, like I said it to you, it just sounds like it should be on Vice City.
Yeah, you know, you're right about Devo. It's definitely got that like stiff record sort of
and there's a guitar, the saw and guitars in a bit like the Cult as well, I thought, in the chorus. But yeah, it's out on been out on their debut EP, Split the Bill, out on Moshi Moshi.
And Moshi Moshi?
If I employ you to do one thing is watch the video, because it's just ridiculous. It's just the most stupid thing I've ever seen. And
I can confirm the most. Well, I'm surprised that you came out with, if I can implore you. Dave's been reading.
I have. What else have we had to do in lockdown?
Fuck all, Dave.
Read the dictionary.
Can you imagine? I've completed A through G. You know what? That's really weird. When I was like nearly a number wang then, trying to think of a letter, I was like, hey, I was like, oh.
74, 84, 81.4. That's number wang.
Oh, number wang will not ever be not funny. Okay, my tunes of the week. In at three, Dave, I'm going for Folly Group, Four Wheel Drive. Big tune, mate. It's just I quite like it's quite heavy, man. But it's the debut single from them on So Young Records from So Young Magazine. They've just started up, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I was reading up apparently because it's quite like a mechanical sound. Apparently, they wanted it to sound like that to show off what each band member does, basically. Like,
right?
Yeah, it's really.
It kind of reminds me of TV Priest. That's what they said. They did their own parts and it sort of meshed together.
Interlinking, very nice. Yes. Dave. In it too, this was a nightmare, by the way, to try and find anything on the internet about it. English teacher R&B.
Yeah.
They're from Leeds.
Did you get lots of like American teachers trying to be cool doing R&B videos?
Yo, bro, on YouTube. Like, this is what I did with my grade three kids. So yeah, this was they're a little band from Leeds, just started out. But yeah, this one, it was, I was trying to work it. I love a song meaning, like, because it's always vastly different to what I think it is.
Yeah.
But I really thought they sound like early Wolf Alice in this song.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently it's like the paradox of like imposter syndrome and low self-esteem. But then like having both of those things creates those things, which is weird.
That is weird. That's when you see that look on your face when you're like,
and
it's way too hard to home.
Track of the week is by L'Objectif, Drive in Mind. Love it.
Great song. Yeah, it's when I didn't hear this before you put it in our playlist, and for some reason I thought it was just because of the L'Objectif. I thought it was gonna be some like French disco-y sound to it, and I listened, I was like, "Ooh, actually that's a bit of a surprise. I like that."
Yeah, it's nice. It's quite like, it's heavy but quite clean cut with it, do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's really well put together, really polished. And just another band from Leeds, actually, also same as English Teacher. A few great bands coming out of Leeds, along with the Marsigans, of course. But yeah, that song's about the weird concept of drive-in cinemas and people going there and taking in other people's ideas, which is really weird. But do you know what I love? One of their band members has got possibly the greatest name I've ever heard of in a band member, Ezra Glennon.
Ezra Glennon.
Eat your fucking heart out, Ezra Glennon. There you have it. But anyway, Dave, that is the end of
Luke and Dave's Tune of the Week.
All right, Dave, should we have some Big Smoke in Focus?
Why not? Treat me.
Oh, go on, then.
Big Smoke
in Focus.
Yes, this is our Big Smoke In Focus chats with the brilliant Ethan Barnett, aka 10 Tons.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Ethan, thank you for coming to episode 3 of season 4, Big Smoke Music Weekly. How's things?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, sure. Gerard, I was doing my usual social media stalk of our guests, and I was like, he's been in the beer garden already. Yes. Yeah. Nice. How was it? Good to be back.
Yeah, I've been missing it a lot. So yeah, I've been quite a lot. Not that in a weird way, but I've just been very excited to get out and about again. So yeah.
For sure, man. For sure.
It's definitely that thing you don't know what it's got till it's gone, isn't it?
When I started seeing like people posting like countdowns of like 4 more Mondays, and I was like, why do I care so much that it's like.
Yeah, the big thing I felt is the stress, because it's suddenly like I had to book, and I was like, oh, everything's booked up. Oh no.
You're right. I went to a place where they weren't taking bookings, so it was just first serve. Like if you arrive there, you get a table. That's it. My mate turned up. They weren't serving anything till like midday. My mate was there at 11 a.m. by himself for an hour.
I've not been that bad, but yeah, I've
been all right. Anyway, the more pressing conversation we should be having is about your new single, Everything You Got. Yeah. Came out April 6th. So yeah, it's kind of, it must be great to be putting stuff out, because yeah, was it a little while before the previous release? I was trying to remember.
So yeah, I put a single out before this in, it was either late October or like November.
Yeah.
And before that was my album, which wasn't, that was like May 2019. So it's been nice to kind of be back into even just singles, putting music out, and kind of, especially with everything going on, it's such a nice distraction, and like, I don't know, just keeps me with a kind of clear, I need to get some work done sort of thing.
Yeah, for sure, man. But it's such a great tune, because I heard it when it came out, and then I've been listening to it loads because I knew I was going to be talking to you as well. But it is a perfect song for summer, isn't it?
Yeah, I think like I kind of didn't even really put 2 and 2 together that it was coming out and then pubs were opening like a week later. kind of works out very well.
Perfect timing, that is.
Yeah, it fits very well. I'm glad it's out.
Exactly. And is it right? You wanted to write something with a lot of kind of 80s influences in there.
Yeah.
Is that right? So what were kind of the main things you were trying to pick out from the 80s?
I just kind of love like how in the 80s, like indie music from the 80s still has massive like pop sensibilities.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just in the 80s, it felt like the kind of genre divides went away. So you'd have bands doing like this massive drum sounds and stuff, which were like kind of opposite of what was the sound in the 70s. So I don't know, I just kind of, I love that sort of thing of like, there's massive songs from the 80s that are by, other than those big songs, are by pretty like solid indie bands that for the other decades were kind of like fairly small. But I just kind of like that pop sensibilities, but still with guitars and stuff.
Sure, man. I think 80s pop's way more enduring than what the pop is nowadays as well. I can't imagine going to a wedding in like 30, 40 years and dancing to, I don't even know what's in the charts at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Ten tons, I mean, that's what you're going to dance into.
Yeah, 10 tons, exactly. Yeah, sorry, how could I forget?
Yeah, but there's bands like Echo, Waterboys and like Jay Giles band and people like that that are kind of like, you kind of know them for these massive songs, but if you look in their back catalogue, they've got loads of other stuff going on. But just like, even the Pogues were pretty like big in the 80s.
I love
like
the Pogues.
Pop tunes, and it's like, I just think that's such a cool kind of, just do what you do, but kind of have that fun about it. It just feels like fun music to me. So yeah.
Also, the Pogues, last big story out of them was drummer Shane McGowan's new set of teeth he got, his Nashers.
Yeah.
teeth. Unbelievable, mate. But
released this on own independent label. So what led you to go down that route? Because it's quite a bold thing to do, especially with your first album.
Yeah, I guess so. It kind of just was like, I was signed before and then that kind of like run its course. So then I was just like the kind of, I don't know, I don't really like sitting around and doing nothing. And I was like, I either kind of have to go back and kind of convince people to want to work with me, or I just do it all myself, which I'm kind of very happy doing anyway. Hence why it's like 10 tons, but it's just me, because it's like, do it all myself. So yeah, I kind of just was like, especially last year, it's just like, fuck it. I'll happily do all the work and put like, get it going, because nobody else is going to do that for you, are they? So
no, you find how it
came about, and I like, it's getting to the point now where it's like, there's, I've got a few more people involved, so there's less cool. pressure on me to
less
do
pressure it. You're not like delivering it to people's houses and everything.
Yeah,
racking up the miles on a delivery bike. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's, I think just kind of came from a place of like, I want to keep doing this, and the only way that I can, like, I should just do it if I want to. So yeah, I think it's super easy nowadays as well to just put music out yourself. So
yeah,
for sure, that's one thing that's improved, I reckon. Yeah, I was gonna say as well, because obviously the EP, everything you got that's coming out. Do you? I always wonder if artists like kind of like, as you've had your album, debut album out already, do you kind of just say like, right, that's one closed chapter, I won't really think about that again, and then bang, new EP, that's all you're focusing on.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I listened to my first album for the first time last summer since it came out. So that was
really,
like,
yeah, a year after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just, I listened to it once since then again, just to be like, just check what I was doing. But I think it is kind of that, like, it is like so much, it's just like a chapter of your life, really. And all the touring and everything that you do with it, you kind of just go like, cool, that's one thing done. And just, yeah, move on, really. But it's quite a nice way to kind of chapter my life as well, because I'll be like, oh,
yeah,
that,
for sure.
That sort of time,
yeah, man, that'd be great. Because, Dave, it all comes back to one festival, because we've done nothing in a year and a half. We saw you at Truck 2019.
Cool.
That was in the day, wasn't it? I don't know if it was quite early in the day. I can't really remember, but good times.
Yeah,
that was good times.
I don't remember what time it was either, but I remember it was a good crowd. It's like a good indie.
I feel like that's such a festival thing, is you've got no concept of time. It's like, it's one of the ones you look up, you just look up in the sky and like, it's kind of, it's darkish,
you know,
now.
Roughly what time it is. Yeah, I know exactly. But that was great, man, loved it. But yeah, I can't wait for the new EP to come out as well, so it's gonna be class. But so are you based, have you always been down in Bristol sort of way, or have you always?
No, I moved in like the week between Christmas and New Year's just gone.
Oh right, fair play. So were you London way before?
yeah, I lived in London and then I moved back home with my dad for like most of the pandemic last year, And then kind of from like midsummer, like knew I wanted to move somewhere else. And I kind of just felt like I've kind of done London for the time being. I've been there for quite a while.
I feel you. I feel you, man.
And I've always loved Bristol. So I was like, cool, just try that. So,
well, Dave's a Bristol lad. You cut me Bristol bleed boys, cider, mate. He bleeds.
I'll meet you for a cider in the summer.
Exactly. I was going to ask about Ethan because, like, I'm always interested where artists live and stuff because, like, it definitely affects you where you live. Is that kind of, did you write everything you got in Bristol? Was that, like, part of that kind of move there as well?
No, I wrote when I got back home and, like, there'd been a period of time of just not writing at all and kind of trying not to put too much pressure on myself to write because previously I've been quite, like, need to write a song a day, if not more, and if you don't, then it feels like you're not doing something right. Whereas I was just like, just chill out and give yourself like a few months off to just
stop being.
Yeah, exactly. Just think about what you actually want to write about and stuff. So I wrote it last summer. The stuff that I've written while I've been here, it isn't coming out for a while, but that'll be at the end of the year, I guess.
Sweet, man. Yeah, I bet it's quite easy to be quite hard on yourself in music. Like,
yeah, I have that kind of personality trait anyway, where it's like, quite like on my own case of like you need to do more so yeah. Definitely like goes quite well with music as well.
Yeah were you like I've had one single out, why the fuck am I not headline Glastonbury yet?
Yeah, definitely. It's not even stuff like that where it's like big achievements, it's just like I just the person, like my job really is just to write songs, so I'm just always like write more songs and just I'm always just like in the back of my head like if I'm not doing it, I'm thinking I should be doing it. And if I am doing it, then I think I should be doing it better. So that's kind of what I do.
Do you ever find like you look back at things of like what you've achieved, or you're always more of a driven person? So like you say, a festival slots, all these, or you just move on and like, right, I want to, what's next?
Yeah, I think I'm more looking forward. It is nice to kind of occasionally be like, oh, like you've done some really cool stuff and like to kind of appreciate that. And it's nice talking with like my touring crew and band and stuff, like those nice memories of like, I remember when we did those festivals or whatever, but I think like music wise for me by myself, it's more just looking to what could happen next.
Nice, mate. We'll get you at Ali Pali.
Yeah.
It's such a good pinnacle in Ali Pali, man. Great venue. Painfully asked to get to though, so it brings it down a few parks.
Like, because it's all flat in there as well. So I've been there before where I've like been a bit near the back and it's like, there's just people because there's no like no slope or anything, so you just end up looking.
You can get stuck really far away and just not well, hear anything. And
that's true, actually. I think because I think another time I saw Ethan was at Scala, and a lot of the time, mainly because it was near the bar, I've got to be honest. like on the high, because there's like three different levels at Scala, such a great venue for that.
Yeah, it's good, like venues like that as well. Because when I'm playing, I'm kind of just like looking around and stuff like different levels and stuff is great because it gives you loads of different stuff to look at while you're playing. So
Do you ever have it? Because I used to have a really, really cool job, Ethan, working in a planetarium, right? And I used to have to do a welcome speech. And I used to find whenever I was doing this speech, I'd always end up looking at like one person and I couldn't stop looking at them. Do you have that when you're playing live?
Yeah, and kind of like it feels weird to talk about touring now because I haven't done it in so long. I like, I'd still do that, but like, once it gets to muscle memory and you've been touring for a while, you'll kind of just, you'll play a whole song and like then realise that you've just been thinking about what you're going to have for dinner or whatever. You've just been looking at one person the whole time. You're like, fuck, like,
And there's someone in the crowd that thinks you're serenading them. He's like, he loves me. Yeah. He's playing to me.
When really, you're thinking about your chili con carne.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Okay, that's the first part of our chat with Ethan Barnett, aka 10 tons. I'm just going to say 10 tons and save my breath from now on, Dave. I
think so.
Oh man, what a nice guy, and just so relaxed, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did. He's pretty chilled. He almost put to us a shame because he sat there with a beer and we didn't have one. I felt a bit left out, actually.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when he came on, I was like, God, I needed this chat with you because I've had a day from hell. It was like therapy. Nice soothing chat with Ethan.
Yeah, it's nice.
It was good, man. But I thought it was really interesting what you were saying about how, because obviously this whole year has been weird for a lot of people moving home, like I've done. And he did that as well, didn't he? Moving back in with his dad.
Yeah, and it's given him like a lot of time to contemplate and think about what he really wants and the kind of sound he wants. You know, I think that's what it's done for a lot of people. It's just giving people time to think. It's interesting to see what comes out of that.
Yeah, for sure. I always wonder about like artists and stuff, because like I mentioned to him in the chat, like the pressure of having to come up with new stuff and always having to, or at least be seen to be writing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that, like you said, he doesn't like to sit still, and he does get itchy feet, and he's always like at it.
We're striving to want something more, which is good. But then that's like, sometimes you do need to just sort of take a pause and think, actually look back and I did achieve that, and then move on. And it's the right balance, I think.
Exactly, man. And I think it was interesting him saying about how much he goes out on his own and does a lot of his own stuff. And I think that probably is unfairly me prejudging and thinking, oh, his brother's George Ezra, he might have a similarly big team behind him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's quite a brave thing to do. Like, I don't know how it obviously came about. You know, he was on a major label, you know, and maybe decided he just wanted to do his own thing and, you know, a bit more control. But it's interesting, like you said, he started from absolutely nothing. He's got a bit more of a team around him now, but it's a brave move, and you know, hopefully it pays off. And
wait, he's got a solid fan base as well, and I think it's probably like that breakaway was probably like, right, I've got my first album under my belt, got my fan base up, let's do things my way now.
Definitely.
So yeah, love it, man. I think we should get into the runny Big Smoke Big Hen, Dave. Should we bloody do that right now?
Why not?
Should we go and do that again? Oh, here it is.
Big Smoke, Big Ten.
I would first ask someone, you go first this time.
Oh, what you like, you're so kind. All right. Number one, Ethan. Excuse me. What artists did your parents/parents listen to that had the biggest impact on you growing up?
I think, to be honest, like, my dad loves Bob Dylan, and I think that's the kind of biggest sustaining one throughout my life. And I didn't like Bob Dylan for ages. Like, I think as a kid, when you listen to it, it's like, what am I listening to? Because you're not listening to the lyrics, and you're just hearing his like kind of unusual singing style. So it wasn't until I was like 15 or 16 that I kind of listened to it for myself and got into it. But I think that's kind of, it's been the most consistent one throughout. But we also listen to loads of stuff like Paul Simon.
Very nice, bit of Graceland.
Yeah, exactly. And like Van Morrison and Eric Clapton. My dad likes all that stuff. And then my mum's more into like Motown and soul and stuff like that. So like
same
stuff all in the like background, but none of it's really like directly influenced what I do now, I think, other than Bob Dylan a bit. So
fair play. Nice, man. Nice.
What is your favourite gig that you've ever played?
I've done some cool ones supporting other people, like
Ethan is Truck 2019, mate.
Yeah, 2019 and Scarlet, and there was one guy at the bar having a wicked time. I've done some wicked ones with. So I did a tour with Stereophonics at the start of 2018, and that was all like as an arena tour, and so obviously that's like far beyond my current like gig level. So you just get to play to like thousands and thousands of people every night. So that was cool, for the kind of spectacle and like the completely like alienness of it compared to what I do. But I think all of my headline shows are usually my favorite ones, because you've got a crowd there that are like just to see you. So they're the best gigs.
Yeah, fair play. Kelly Jones, small man, isn't he? Very small. I met him once at work.
He's a lovely man as well. I don't really know why they picked me to support them. Like, I've met the drummer a few times, and he's lovely as well.
Yeah.
And then like got an email for him, and I was like, fuck yeah, like I'll do that for nothing. Like, I'll pay to do that. So like, we just rock up every night in our little van with like no like gear or anything, and then just get to play to like 10,000 people or whatever. It was
amazing. That's so surreal as well. Yeah. It's been so weird.
I think like for those big bands, doing stuff like that is so important as well, to kind of and nice to keep that kind, because they could easily just get another band that were around at the similar time. But the fact that they're still bothering to like help younger acts.
Yeah, that's really cool, man. Joe, when he did come into work, I had to go down to reception to like bring him up to our floor in the office. And I went down, I was looking around, I was like, Kelly Jones. And then I saw this guy, short, had the same haircut, he's wearing sunglasses, like, he's clearly a rock and roll star. So I went over to this bloke, I was like, Kelly, how's it going? I'm Luke. And the guy shook my hand. And he was like, he took his glasses off and he went, I can't do a Mexican accent, but he's like, mid, I'm Mexican. My name's not Kelly. Kelly Jones was sat on a bench next to him. I was like, oh, for God's sake. Absolute shocker, mate. But number three, what was the moment you realised you'd made it as a band / artist?
I don't know. I feel like I probably still haven't had that moment, but I don't know. I did Sunday brunch once, and that was pretty big.
That is big.
Yeah.
What was the lineup on the show that day? Do you remember?
I don't actually. I don't, which is bad.
It was that special. You can't
it is awkward sometimes. Like when I've watched it, it's just people just sort of sat around and looking a bit like bored a lot of the time.
Yeah. And you don't really realize. I don't know. For me, like I always just have music on, like just a little bit. I think just all the time. And I think it's weird to kind of have a show that's kind of set up like you're in someone's kitchen and there just to be no background noise. Like, silence is like
that must be really weird. Yeah, yeah, you need like an oven fan or something going on.
Yeah, exactly. And also, like, it's you have to be up for like 6 a.m. and then you're eating like food that was made the day before, like reheated. Like, I've been like raw steak at about 9 a.m. Like tartare, which I don't even like. I'm a vegetarian now, but at the time I didn't even like anyway. So it's like quite a lot is happening.
Just turned you off it.
And then it ends, you're like, cool, I just did Sunday brunch.
But I honestly thought for a minute, you're like, I was vegetarian at the time. The producer just wasn't having it, just forcing it down.
Yeah. But it's a similar sort of time we did Blue Peter as well. And that was like a proper, because you get a badge as well. So for me,
oh, do you? You actually get a badge?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty big.
I've got two now because I did an interview for them as well. And every time you do so with them, you have to be wearing a badge, obviously. So they just get me another one.
There you go. Just keep forgetting them, then.
Yeah, exactly.
get a 10, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Number four, Dave, what have you got?
Which person has left you most starstruck, do you say?
I was trying to think about this one because I've not met loads of big famouses, but I once was in a smoking area and Gino De Campo was there. That was quite good. Like that was a nice
out the back of Sunday brunch.
I was saying, I feel like you've got a cooking theme going on here. Sunday brunch, bit of Gino. So.
Yeah. But like I met a guy called Giles Martin who does all the Beatles remastered albums.
Yeah.
The road and stuff. So he's in charge of all that and I'm a massive, massive Beatles fan. So I got to like chat to him and bend his ear for a bit and that was really cool. Just as like
that was really cool. What I've got to ask, what was the smoking area chat with Gino like?
I wasn't actually we were just both there.
He
was like, he was just also there. I think smoking areas are good places just to kind of eavesdrop and just hang around, but he was just
there. Man, I think even if you don't smoke you end up in the smoking area.
Yeah.
It's just always the way, isn't it? Mainly because like I'm an old git and I don't like loud music when I'm out. Just need to listen to my pals. Okay, number five is name three other artists you would have in your supergroup.
I think I'd have Post Malone.
I wouldn't ever have picked that for you. I don't know why.
I think he's wicked, and I think maybe he should lose the face tattoos, but I think he'll be like a proper. I can see him still having a big career in his like 70s. I reckon.
Face tattoos are pretty rogue, aren't they?
Yeah. I saw the video he did. They did this kind of YouTube-y live stream thing for like helping Texas because of all the flooding and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like doing country tunes and his voice sounded amazing. I was like, you've got like, give it a few years and I think he'll be a country star.
Can you imagine just throw everyone off completely?
Yeah. He writes really good tunes, I think, really good pop tunes. So I think I'd have him. And then I think I'd have maybe like the drummer from Arctic Monkeys, Matt Helders. He's a good drummer.
Yeah.
And then we'll have Macca on bass, Paul McCartney.
Nice. I like it. His new album's great as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I listened to a bit of it and then he's re-released it with like, it's all been covered by new artists, hasn't it?
But I haven't seen that. Fair play. Let's check it out. It's good.
Like Edie Bridges and all people like that have kind of redone the
track. Yeah, let's check that. He just keeps on going, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's crazy. And like to still like, as you say, like to a pretty decent level, like a good level. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No one's told him, mate, stop your shit yet.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest encounter you've ever had with a fan, would you say?
I don't know. I've not really had any, and that's kind of like genuine. They're always like pretty lovely people, so it's always been nice. Like, I've been given gifts before, but that's like it's nice, I guess.
What the gifts? Yeah.
Like, I remember I got one girl got me loads of like glittery face masks. We put one on my drummer because I was like, I don't think glitter and skincare to me go together.
No, you're right. That's like, got rash written all over it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I think we put it on my drummer's arm or something, and I think it did go quite red. So
that's the kind of caring man you are, Ethan. You thought, I don't want to put it on, but I'll definitely put it on my drummer.
Yeah. We played a gig once, and then I can't remember where we were, but we were just backstage afterwards. And like, I did everyone's makeup. I don't know why, but it's just thinking about funny things like that.
What was the makeup inspired by? Was there like a bit of punk eyeshadow going on?
Quite like Kiss. It was like very big eye, like eye stuff going on. But I think when you've been on tour for a while, you kind of just need something to keep you occupied. So
yeah, I bet. Yeah, I bet you start just going insane after a while. Yeah. I know I would. I mean, I'm like, Saturday night's done me in. It's Monday. I'm still suffering. Do you know what I mean? Okay, where are we up to, Dave? Number seven. We always say this is the killer question. So do take your time, Ethan. The best tour snack.
Ooh, well, I think there's two answers. There's the best one that is nice to eat, but I think there's also like the thought of like maintaining yourself over a whole tour. So like we used to love like Greggs. Like we'd go to Greggs all the time. But
Dave's like, now we're cooking.
But if you go to Greggs every day, which is like easy to do because you're literally just on the motorway all day, it's like that's not going to be good long term. Yeah.
Not sustainable food, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then, like in the last two tours we did, I was like proper health man. So I was like, just big, like, you know, like Tesco, you just buy a big bag of salad. I just get that for the day and I'm just going to munch this.
Airplane.
Nice. But there's also, either of you ever been to the service station called T-Bay before?
No, but I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah, like between Scotland and England.
Right.
It's like when you're driving from the south up to Glasgow, it's like up that way. And it's like this service station, but it's run by a farm. So it's basically like a farm shop, but it's like proper legit. Oh,
amazing. That's amazing. Is this the place with llamas, by the way?
I've not seen llamas there, but it might do. It has
there's
like,
another one with llamas, but I don't know if it's the same place.
It has like, so it's just all like pies essentially, but they're the best pies you'll ever have. But again, it's like, luckily you only go past it once on a tour.
So you're always asking for like more dates.
Definitely. Yeah, we did Edinburgh once instead of Glasgow, but you obviously go up the other side of the country, so you don't go to T-Bay, and we were gutted.
Just take a detour.
Yeah, extra 100 miles added on for the journey for a pie. Amazing.
Yeah, T-Bay's good.
Yeah, Dave, do you know what's remarkable? We've done 3 episodes in this series, and each one has mentioned Greggs.
I think we're eyeing up a sponsorship, I think. That's what it is.
For sure.
It's like the easiest, most consistent thing at a service station, but yeah, I do have to say I don't recommend it. Greggs,
I reckon if I was traveling around that much, I'd definitely keep like a score chart of service stations as well.
Yeah,
got to be done.
I don't know them by name, but then we'll go to them and I'll be like, this one's sick. But where we are in the country, but I'll be like, yes, this one's sick.
You just know them by smell now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this one's got that Pizza Express at the back or whatever. It's like the bigger ones like that.
Amazing. I like it.
Right. What's the one-off lyric or riff you've wished you'd written?
I think it would have to be something by Bob Dylan, to be honest with you, just because I think, like, there's loads of acts that I admire, but I think with people like Dylan, it's like, I admire him because I don't even think I could even do that if I, like, tried my absolute hardest. Whereas there's other acts that are like, that's wicked, and I kind of can take influence from that. Whereas Bob Dylan is more of just like, for me, it's just like looking kind of.
He's kind of like the equivalent of like, you know, some paintings that you see where you're like, not a lot of effort's gone into that. But then if you tried to recreate it, you'd be like, oh.
I just think it's like, it's just like crazy. I don't know. Just any song by Bob Dylan. I don't want to start saying lyrics here because I feel like it would get a bit, if I just spoken words.
Go on,
sorry.
Fuckers at the ready there.
Yeah.
Like ready for action.
Good riffs. So I think Beatles have got really good riffs, kind of underrated riffs. Like Paperback Writer is a wicked
riff. I was going to say Paperback Writer, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one that always sticks to my brain. It's like, that's, if that was like by a different band, I think it, because the Beatles just have so many hits. It's one of their, like, it's a big song, but it's not their like A-list of songs. Yeah. So I think any other band had that, it'd be like their biggest song.
Yeah, they've definitely got a lot of earworms, haven't they? Like Taxman for me, that just gets stuck in my head every single time. And the Jam, like, did that as well.
Talking about Paul McCartney again, like amazing bass lines as well that are kind of just like hidden in the background, but he's doing crazy stuff.
Exactly, yeah. I'd quite like to speak to Blossom to see how hard it was for them, because they did Paperback Writer, didn't they, one of their lockdown covers that they did, and it was really good, but I wonder how long it took to actually build those, so many different parts to it. But yeah, number 9, Ethan, is the most rock and roll purchase you've ever made. And before you answer this, I want your jacket. The one in the, all the press shots that I've seen for the with the stripes, that's really cool, man.
It's over there. Yeah, it's like a,
I'll send you my address.
Yeah, it's like a full suit of like a pinstripe suit. Yeah, it was kind of like I wanted to just get an outfit that I could just use in all of like my videos and whatever going on, and I just found it. So I bought 2 of it because I was like, just in case. Stop selling it, and they have stopped selling it now. So now I've got 2. Maybe the last.
That's a proper guy thing, isn't it? You find something that you like, buy 12.
Yeah. So, like, I remember my sister once was like, "Oh, if you like it, you should get 2 of it." So I was like, "That's sick. That makes so much sense." But then as soon as I buy the second one, I don't like it anymore. I don't know what it is about it.
Got no money left. You got 2 tour vans.
Yeah, exactly.
One of which you've never been in.
The most rock and roll thing I've bought, I don't know, I've not bought any like anything mad. I've got some good guitars. I bought a guitar last lockdown. I've got it here.
Oh, very nice. What have we got?
This one.
Nice. Very nice.
It's from 1969. It's called a Hagstrom.
Oh, wow.
But I got it on eBay.
That is very rock and roll. And
it's amazing like how in good condition that is in 69 as well.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So. If that guitar had a voice, I've seen some shit, man.
I like older guitars, so that's probably the coolest thing I've got.
Nice, mate. Very big.
And last one, what's the one artist that you've got on repeat right now?
Ooh, let me check.
To be fair, that one always
Spotify.
Whenever people ask me that, I have to check Spotify. I'm like, it's weird, isn't it?
What am I listening to? Can't even
It's odd.
The most recent artist I was listening to is Tom Jones, because I listened to an interview with Tom Jones earlier. So
he's got some new stuff out, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Coming out, yeah.
So I listened to some Tom Jones. What am I listening to? I don't know. It's always like a mix of random stuff. But yeah, Tom Jones is the most recent. And then... what else is here?
It's like when you get answered that question of like, or what type of music you into, and it's just like anything, everything. Like, I've never know how to answer that question.
I usually say like, if it's got a guitar in it, then I'll
I just say it. If it's good, I'll like it. That's
There's a guy called Nightshop, and I don't know anything about him, but he makes really cool tunes, and I found him on Spotify at the end of last year, so I've been listening to a bit of that.
Nightshop or Nightshop?
Night as in day and
He just loves to do it. Cool, but I was going to ask as well with that. Do you guys like listen to a tune before going out to play? Like, do you have like a psych up song?
Yeah, it used to be "Sky Full of Stars" by Coldplay.
Interesting.
And then it kind of just—it just like gets you so pumped. If you're like looking for it, it's there. And then we changed it to "Acceptable in the 80s" by Calvin Harris.
That is a tune.
We kind of got to the point where we've been listening to "Sky Full of Stars" every day for like.
Yeah, it's starting to lose its effect. Yeah,
slowly turning into Chris Martin's.
Yeah. We're doing the dance he does. It's like. And then we walk on. We used to walk onto the Sweet Caroline. So it's just a few bangers. Nice.
Bangers are plenty. Very nice. Well, from one banger to another, we're going to give Everything You Got a spin. If you'd like to introduce it for us.
Yeah, wicked. This is my new single called Everything You Got.
I thought I had it clear. Sean Neymar, the lefty on the line. No, I don't want to be the loser anymore. I don't want to be the one you love to ignore. Ah, yeah. So come on.
There it is. That is 10 Tons and Everything You Got, our Big Smoke In Focus artist for season 4, episode 3 of Big Smoke Music Weekly. Oh, Dave, I feel like that was a very well-rounded Big Smoke In Focus.
Yeah, good way of putting it.
Like yeah, that. Very well-rounded. And I implore you to go and listen to that song more.
I've learned
something in this episode. I've got to be honest. But Dave, I enjoyed that one. Because he's quite like, he came across Ethan as quite like a quirky guy. And I knew that some of his answers would be a bit like that. Like seeing Gino De Campo in a smoking air.
I think this might turn out to be my favourite question. Because he's going to get some random answers.
I know. I think I always thought it was going to be the snack thing, you know. Well, to be fair, he did like his pies, doesn't he?
I love Greg's, don't you?
He likes his...
service station pies. I know there's one of those farm shop ones near where I live, actually, and they are great, those, because they are proper, just no chains and stuff like that, so they are good food there.
Well,
so.
Dave, if we go from yours down to Cornwall, we'll have to work in
we'll hit it up.
Yeah, also I was really conscious of that being a massively dad chat when we were doing that, because it's a proper, you know, whenever you go somewhere you tell your dad, you stop off anywhere, son, what road did you take?
So what route you taking? I said, I'm taking this motorway to that one, mate. Oh, no. Don't know.
Wouldn't do that. Bit tricky that time of day.
I tell you what I'm going to do. Write this down. It's like, Dad, I'm not going to remember this. Christ.
You got a pen? No, I'm sat here having a pint with you. What do you mean you got a pen? Oh, fucking hell. But I was really intrigued as well by the going on tour with Stereophonics. Because, by the way, that is absolutely massive. Like, yeah, Stereophonics.
It's a huge band, isn't it?
And fucking like, it's just huge.
Going and play in arenas, like,
yeah,
it's obviously one of those ones where you've maybe just skipped a few steps, where it's like, you know, people will like lead up to it, and I can imagine that being a big thing to go out and play to that many people, but yeah, maybe it must be quite chucked in the deep end.
Yeah, for sure, man. It must be quite an inspiring thing doing that, actually, because like he's played some pretty solid size venues himself anyway, as 10 Tons, but going to these massive things, you must come in like backstage as the band and be like fucking pumps, like, oh my god, this is
what I want.
If we can get to that level, I'd be amazing. There's nothing better, is there, when you're watching, well, you've been at Glastow, but I always think of Glastow when I've watched it on the box, and the sun's coming down and you look at the crowd and everyone's imagine the feeling of being stood in front
I think, you know, a lot of people maybe more British, but I think most people in music probably say that was the pinnacle. That's always the pinnacle, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe. For sure, mate. Yeah. Do you know what, because I just love our looks, the sunset set.
Oh yeah. It's just the whole setting. Like, that's why I think Casimir's the best, because it's just the way the sun sets is in the perfect place. And you've got the tour in the background and the whole layout, and it's just off. I definitely remember there's, I think, oh, when did
Davey cry?
Yeah. Thinking about it now, Biffy Clyro, it was Biffy Clyro, and they did that exact set, and it was just such a perfect evening. And I was just like, I don't think it can get any better than this. Honestly.
Yeah. And Dave as well, because I'm not a cider drinker. For me, they're the only two times at festivals acceptable was to drink cider during the sunset set or when you wake up.
Oh, God, no. Not then.
Get you back into it.
A nice summer's beer in the morning. Okay.
That's how you get back into it. But anyway, Dave, I was going to say to you, actually, I've booked to see the Libertines.
Wow.
Since our last recording. So, yeah, going in December. So that'll be weirdly pretty much two years, almost to the day since I saw them last, because obviously pandemic and everything.
Yeah.
But, mate, can't wait. Kentish Town Forum, that's going to be
ace.
Mega. Like, oh my God. Because last time I was at Brixton Academy, I've seen them at some massive venues, like, well, Hyde Park, obviously outside, but I've seen them down in Bournemouth. Can't remember the name of what they've called it now, but it's massive centre down there.
Yeah.
It's the BIC, Bournemouth International Centre.
Yeah.
But yeah, mate, incredible. I can't wait. That's booking
a gig.
Yeah.
Is that going to be your first one, do you reckon?
Well, I hope to be at some festivals, hopefully. Yeah. But in terms of like gigs, don't know, maybe get Charlie to sort of sell out TV Priestley down in Southampton. But I think like there's a few in Southampton coming up that I like the look of, yeah. So I might go to some of them. I think Paul Weller's playing later on in the year in Southampton, which would be sweet. Cool. So yeah, man. But yeah, have you got any in the locker, any in the diary?
I think I have booked a few. I think I'm seeing Shame in November.
Shame. That's
Electric
our name.
Brixton. I know I booked to see bit of a small one actually in the Windmill Lounge Society, which I'm
that'd
be good. I bought the lows. I mean, so many have been postponed, so I don't even know when they are. Like,
weirdly, I need to chase that up actually. I booked to see the Magic Gang last year and that never bloody happened.
Yeah, wait, is that when there's the Blossoms one as well with them playing Magic Gang?
Yeah,
well.
I need to chase all that up, Dave. What's going on? My cash floating around, nightmare. And the other thing I was going to say to you is my annoying New Year's resolution that's kind of making me want to break now.
I think this is definitely a lockdown decision make.
It definitely was. I was like, I've got so much money. I better start buying a bottle of whiskey every month for the whole year.
Yeah, that made me laugh that, you know, people do things to really like self-improvement and, you know, let's learn a language. Let's, you know, join a gym and stuff like that. And then let's buy a bottle of whiskey every month. And a really expensive one at that.
Just getting fucking hammered every month instead of getting on a treadmill.
Does that mean you're setting yourself the goal of drinking a bottle of whiskey a month?
That'd be hard going, man. I mean, we nearly finished a bottle off that when I saw you in December. Christ. That was a hangover and a half. But yeah, mate, I do enjoy it. There's nothing better than sticking some good music on, little whiskey on the Dwayne's, the Rock Johnsons, and just chill there having a whiskey, man. Beautiful.
Wait.
On the Dwayne's. It's so shit, it's great.
I thought that was going to be some like Irish slang or something. I was like, oh, he's come up with that. Like,
on the fucking Dwayne's.
It's on the Dwayne's.
No, it's just the Rock Johnson. Have you never heard that before?
Yeah, no.
I'll let you have that one, Dave. That's fine. All right, time now for our close up 60 seconds. Close up, 60 seconds. Welcome, Ruben from the Hubbers. How are you, man? All good?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. Yeah, I'm really good. Yeah.
Good. We did just talk about pub plans. Have you got any pub plans today?
No, like where I am, all of the pubs are absolutely rammed, and you'd think people have like waited to do nothing else. So probably going to drink at home like I've done for the last. I was going to say the last 2 years, but probably for the last 18.
I was going to say, how long have you been in isolation? 2 years. That's a long time. Nice, mate. Well, the whole episode I've been doing with my co-host Dave is essentially being taken over by First Pub Weekend Chat. So getting back to it today. Can't wait. Sunburn and overpriced pints is what it's about. So let's have a chat then. Close-up festival. You guys are on the bill. Must be nice to have something firmly in the diary for later on in the year.
Yeah, man. I cannot wait. It's like... been pushed back, hasn't it? So it's just been on the horizon all this time. So I've been saying to people, yeah, we've got a gig, yeah, everything's fine. And I'm thinking, like, am I still going to be alive at the time? But hopefully now there's a light come up. And I'm well excited for it, yeah. I've forgotten how to do it, to be honest. Like, not been on the stage in ages.
So, yeah, do you reckon that'll feel quite weird, like, when you first get out to your first couple of gigs? It'll feel a bit surreal.
Oh, man, I'm going to be a nervous wreck. Yeah.
Do you reckon? Do you get quite nervous before a gig anyway, like, even when things are good?
Yeah. No, like, it was always, you know, it's a very exciting thing to do, but, you know, it's not done it in a long time. I'm not just singing, like, in the mirror or to my dog anymore, you know. Hopefully there's going to be people there watching it.
I always find the best acoustics are in the shower, man, or like in the bathroom. It makes me convinced that I'm a good singer.
Yeah, no, I've not been in your shower, but I will take you out.
That's an open invite, by the way, if you want to come.
Yeah, it sounded like it. You played with me
for a bit of a shower karaoke, mate. I'll send you my postcode, and I'll see you in a few hours. So yeah, mate, there's a great lineup as well on the close-up bill as well, like the likes of Wen Young as well and the Valeris. So that'd be great, mate. Obviously nice to be on like quite an independent festival bill with some great names.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to see some live music again.
Yeah, I bet that's quite a good thing as well, isn't it, being part of a band, being at a festival. You are kind of a punter as well as playing at the same time.
Definitely. I mean, you wouldn't do it if you didn't enjoy listening to other people's shit as well as your own, you know.
Yeah, is that why you're in a band? Just free gig tickets?
that and like free crate at the end. I mean, you wouldn't do it otherwise.
Just all for the freebies, yeah. nothing to do with the love of music at all. So, mate, let's get into the close-up 60 seconds. Are you ready?
Okay.
Ruben of the Hovers, number one, your guilty pleasure song and why?
I don't think there is such a thing as a guilty pleasure in music, cause like what you like, and like my whole Spotify Wrapped is a guilty pleasure, really. So, but if I had to have one that I don't like people knowing that I like, it's got to be Runaway by The Cause.
That's a great song.
It's got the most uplifting key change at the end. It makes me do sex faces.
That's a whole different episode for another time. We'll do Ruben's sex faces. Okay, number two is, why should people add the Hubbards to their playlist and become diehard fans?
Because you would be, you'd become part of a very, very exclusive group of people on Spotify and on the streaming platforms. It feels good to like shit that no one's like.
Great, and the important thing is to not add the 2003 version of the Hubbards.
Oh my God, no. Actually, they're like, share the love, like they could do with as much help as anyone
I'm full on picturing like the 2003 version, just you, but like as a busted member. Do you know what I mean? Like, long white socks on, baggy shorts.
Yeah, man. Was I alive then? I mean, I was alive then.
You were definitely
alive. I was not, like, putting music on iTunes back in 2003, I guarantee you that.
Okay, number three is, and it's the crucial question, the best meal deal combo. Go.
Your high-ticket items, so, like, something cooked and watery, like one of them sandwiches where you get three in it, and then,
yeah, a triple, nice.
Yeah, and like high-end crisps. I don't know, veg ones, even though I don't like veg like that. Yeah. Gotta get your money's worth.
That was amazing.
Plug it on, Kathy.
Absolutely no messing. So, Ruben, going into the final two questions, you have 10 seconds on the clock. This is high stakes, man. So, number four, what would you do if you weren't in a band?
I would do what I do and work anyway because it doesn't pay enough money. Hopefully I'd be in a successful band if I wasn't in this band. Next question, go.
Amazing. You've got like 2.5 seconds left to describe your live show in 5 words. Can you do it? This is the least amount. Right, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
Hubbard songs, but live.
You literally on the dot, plus like a fourth of a second. Perfect, mate. Amazing.
I had to cut a word out of that, so I did it in 4, so even more efficient.
You're that good, you can do it in 4. That is how good the Hubbards are. Nice, man. So we're going to give a track of yours a spin, but do you want to choose which one?
Let's go for Good When I'm Done by the Hubbards.
Beautiful. Let's have it.
What's a boy to do anymore? We'll be right back.
Music Weekly.
Okay, fucking fantastic. That was close up 60 seconds. Sorry, I had to do it, Dave. I knew you were going to enjoy the generic radio voice.
Absolutely spot on.
Fucking music on Big Smoke Music Weekly. Anyway, love it. Little announcement, Dave. Close Up Festival, which I'm very much excited for, is kind of been shifted as it was from last year, like pretty much everything else on planet Earth. But yes, will be confirmed 11th September 2021. When Young headlining Sad Boys Club, Valerius are on the bill, plus the Hubbards, the New Coast, and some more acts on the way. So yes, mate, very much looking forward to that.
Cool.
Bosh. So Dave, anyway, the main thing I wanted to record today is this thing that I found that I was like, oh my God, this is like the holy grail of mine and Dave's humor. So it's an old dad CD, which I found lying around in the man cave, and the title of the compilation album is called 2 days of the best rock and pop tracks ever, something for the weekend. Absolutely incredible.
2 days.
Yeah, 2 days. 2 days. But it's just an album. So one is night tunes and one is day tunes. And as you can see by the front cover, it's split by a woman on a night out and a guy in his local park in the day.
That's classic.
And on the reverse, right? They've got like a cocktail and then an aspirin. But mate, honestly, it's a big tunes on there, mate, to be fair. On disc one, which is Saturday. Of course. Supergrass, All Right is the opener. And we've got stuff from Suede, Reef, James, Sit Down, of course. Deacon Blue. Happy Monday, Step On.
Classic.
And it ends with Lust for Life, Iggy Pop.
Is there anything better than just a dad rock compilation? Like, I think my favourite ones were when they're like the barbecue
this
anthems.
This is what that is. It's literally that. But my favourite track on Saturday is number 10. EMF, you're unbelievable.
Basically, it's just like 90s dads that are just like, who have like retired from just having it large to
having
just
it large. Having it large in the kitchen instead.
Yeah.
CD2 is the Boo Radleys, Wake Up Boo is the opening track. Then we've got Crowded House, Weather With You.
Classic. Is this the Hungover?
Yeah, this is the hungover one. Easing yourself into your Sunday and your Friday.
Nice. I like a bit of Hungover Crowded House, actually.
I'll tell you what I do like. Number 3, Baby Bird. Because you're gorgeous. Tune. Did they ever do another song, Baby Bird? I don't think so. But others on there. We've got Stranglers, Golden Brown, Suzanne Vega with Tom's Diner. And it ends with Lou Reed, Perfect Day.
God.
How good is that, though? But that is a proper one for the ages. 1997, that is. Brilliant. Something for the weekend.
I can imagine your dad getting a lot of use out of that as well. A grill.
I might make the Spotify playlist just so we have it.
Yes, for Cornwall. For
Cornwall, something for the weekend. And you better have a go at me if I ever dare play it on any other day other than Saturday and Sunday.
If I have a crowded house on a Saturday, I'm going to lose it.
You fucking broke the rules. It's a Sunday song. Oh, mate, incredible. But Davidoff, another solid episode. Thank you for swinging by again.
No worries, mate.
No worries.
Pleasure.
I've got to say, have you been using fake tan? You're looking very bronzed there, Dave.
No, I haven't, mate.
All right, but that clears that up. Thank you very much.
I'd never admit to that anyway, but no, I've just got a nice complexion, mate. That's what
Yeah, he fucking is. All right. Well, anyway, we'll be back next week for another Big Smoke In Focus artist, and of course, another Close Up 60 seconds as well. Take care, kids. See you later, Davo.
Ta-ra.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.